Hey everyone, welcome back to the Impact Michigan podcast presented by Intermittent. Intermittent is a grassroots, volunteer-operated organization that was founded in 2016. Our mission is to unite the Midwest tech community, thoughtfully nurture its development, and highlight it as a hub of and destination for entrepreneurial talent and innovation. In this episode of the Impact Michigan podcast, I chat with Stephen Major, co-founder and CEO of Ash and Erie. As seen on Shark Tank, Ash and Erie makes shirts for short guys, and let me tell you, they're pretty nice if I do say so myself. As a fellow short guy, I can attest to their fit and quality, as I happen to be the proud owner of a few of their shirts. I got to chat with Stephen about growing up in similar zip codes. I mean, like, the high schools we went to are literally 3 miles away from each other. We also got to chat about his experience in the entrepreneurial boot camp called Venture for America. We talked about his experience pitching Ash and Erie on Shark Tank and eventually working with Mark Cuban and a whole lot more. All right, with that, let's get into the episode.
Yeah, let's just all go right with it. I don't know. We'll see how long it lasts. If not, just set that camera up on him. Yeah, all right. Cool. Thanks. Cool. Welcome again.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for going through our technical difficulties. For bearing
through them. No, you're good.
You went to Cousineau.
I did.
I went to Mott.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was like doing a little bit of research, and I was like, wait, Warren.
Yeah, where'd you see that part?
LinkedIn.
Oh, nice.
It was, I think you have like an internship at the U.S. Army base.
I do. My first two summers in college.
Nice.
A little different than what we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think it's also in your like education.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I was like, what? And so I like.
It's amazing how many people I meet that are like, you went to Cousineau? I'm like, you did too? What? It's not like it's that popular of a school or anything.
Yeah, but. Yeah, yeah. Because you went to, for college, you went to NC State, right?
I did. That part's a little unusual.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily, but like, so what brought you to, what made you want to go to NC State?
To be honest, I expected to go to one of the Michigan schools. I applied to Wayne State, Michigan State, U of M, and I had a teacher that said, hey, there's a scholarship down in North Carolina at NC State you should try out for. And I thought I had no chance at all of getting the scholarship. And ended up applying, going through a couple interviews. It was pretty competitive and tough, but one way or another, they made an offer. So had a full ride to go down there. It was a really cool program that wasn't just, here's some money, go at it. It had a lot of extra support for you all 4 years of college. And the community and the network and everything was amazing. So had never been to the South before interviewing. Didn't know what I wanted to study at the time, but ended up making the jump and loved my time down there.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So what was the transition like? So like your first internships, did you always know that you would want to like go back to like Detroit someday or?
I expected it first, and this was 2009 to 2013 that time. I think I always expected, look, I'll get a job in a bigger city with a bigger company. I'll work there for a while. Eventually, I'll try to find my way back to Detroit. And it'd be great if I could start a company one day and be involved in startups. But I was studying chemical engineering. I had worked at places like Exxon and the U.S. Army, these huge organizations. And that's just the path that it seemed like everybody did, right? You look up to people older than you. You look up to friends and family and classmates, and they went and worked at big engineering firms. They went and worked at big consulting firms. That's all there was. For me, a big difference was two things. Number one was I launched a youth leadership development program in college. What that really means is myself and a friend, we were both freshmen, and we said, look, we want to try to make an impact on campus. Let's do something. And we have this amazing scholarship. It's an incredible opportunity. Let's do something more on the social side, more on the voluntary community development side. And so we had a conference that brought in students from all over North Carolina, gave them a bunch of training and support, and basically said, go in your communities and make a difference. You're not too young. Here's some resources how to do it. We had a lot of structure and mentorship and support for them. And that was great. What I realized is I enjoyed that of building something from the ground up a lot more than these internships with bigger companies. And then I found a program called Venture for America, and that was really the second thing. And then that was really sold as, look, we'll place you at a startup in an emerging city, somewhere like Detroit, Baltimore, Cleveland. You have an amazing 2-year experience working for them. We'll give you a ton of mentorship and support, and then we'll help you launch your own companies one day. And for me, I was very stubborn about Detroit. I figured if I'm going to do this program and be at a startup, I want to be in Detroit. I think right. I was more picky than anyone else. Ultimately found a spot working for Waymark. They were Social Proof and Stick formerly. Had a great 2 years working for them before then launching Ash and Erie.
Right.
And joining Venture for America was huge because it really took me away from this traditional path that most people do. Big companies, big cities, big jobs. And instead worked at a startup. And once you work at one, you really understand what it takes to grow a company from the ground up.
Yeah. And so did you, because I assume we grew up very similar because I was 14. I'm 14 and Ryan. Where were you? Did you grow up like
12 and a half in Hoover?
12 and a half in Hoover.
Yeah,
okay.
Moved halfway through. But
yeah. So that's like Hoover. Is that like Warnwoods Tower-ish?
No, it's right by Cousineau. Right. I grew up really close. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I assume we grew up very similar. I mean, that's like within a 5 mile radius of each other. Right.
Yep.
And so, were you always entrepreneurial?
I don't know, honestly. I think back, I think I was, but I didn't really know what the word meant. I have no entrepreneurs in my family. I really didn't have anybody to compare to. It's funny, when I was 14, I think it was 13 or 14, I was like a young teenager. I would just very, very small amounts. I was buying some things online and reselling them at a little bit of a markup. And I was definitely one of the kids that, you know, bought candy, sold it a markup to classmates. And I think to me, that just felt normal. It felt like, oh yeah, this is fun. Why wouldn't I do that? And then looking back, it's like, okay, there probably was some instinct in me that said, look, I kind of enjoy that. Let's do something from the ground up. I'm glad now that I can appreciate that wasn't really creating value. And one of the big parts of Venture for America is it's not just about profit. It's not just about what you're doing, but let's actually create value. And I'm glad we can do that with our clothes with Ash and Erie. But I do think there was some part of me that was, but I never really knew what it was. Never had some institutional knowledge to say, hey, you can actually have a career in this until I got to college and had people around me to help.
Yeah. And so talk a little bit about your time with VFA, where basically it's like not just a startup incubator, which is after the first 2 years, but it's what I call like a people incubator, right?
Yeah, that'd be a fair way to talk about it. I mean, it's a program that's saying we want to support you for your career, right? It starts off with a 5-week training. It was at Brown University previously. This summer it will be in Detroit, which is awesome. First time it's moving here. And that's saying here are a lot of the soft skills that it takes to succeed at a startup. I think in general, most companies, larger companies have training and they have ways to onboard new hires, but startups don't. And that is one of the downsides of working in a smaller company, especially as a recent college grad. So having that available to help was wonderful, A, just because you're a recent grad, most people are only a couple years out of college at most, and having that training is useful. And B, startups don't have that support. So a lot of the soft skills and things about the uniqueness of startups and how to succeed there, that was part of it, and then some hard skills as well. After the training, you, again, spend the 2 years working at a startup, so you're on the ground, you're actually a full-time employee of this company. It's not like you're working for Venture for America. And that's the most valuable part, right? You don't need VFA to do that. Anybody can go and work at a startup, and that's really where you can learn the most. But they have mentorship and support behind the scenes. They have people that they assign to you and that you can connect with, and a really, really great network to continue to learn from. And so all in all, I don't know what you'd call it per se, but it was a path for us that taught us a ton and allowed us to then start Ash and Erie. And then since we started the company, they've been very supportive as well.
Yeah. So once you were thinking about starting Ash and Erie, how was that process like? Did you know from the get-go of like the program, or like when in the process of VFA did you realize you wanted to start Ash and Erie?
I was never too eager. I think it was really after about 2 years working at Waymark. You know, I don't think you can plan that far ahead. And for us, it was my co-founder and I, we were both just ready for the next step in our careers. We knew we had VFA and that network behind us. And it was more of a why not,
right?
If we came up with an idea, a problem that we had, that's why we started the company. We could never find clothes that fit. And we had no fashion backgrounds. We had never started a company ourselves before. We had worked together, both at Waymark. We'd become friends. We had known each other quite a bit from that. But it was more of just why not? And then there were smaller steps that took, and everything kept working, right? We had a crowdfunding campaign. We raised $26,000 in a month in pre-orders. That's with no paid advertising or anything like that. And that was huge. That was the world telling us, hey, this product does have a need. People actually really want this. And then we developed the clothes for a while. We met amazing people to help with that. We launched and sold out in 5 weeks around the 2015, the holiday time. And so we just kept having more and more momentum, and it's just, and we knew it's like, okay, we need these clothes. Every shorter guy we're talking to needs these clothes. Yeah. We have to keep going and find a way to do it.
Right. Yeah. So how's the growth been over the past, how long has it been now?
About two and a half, three years. Yeah.
Yeah. How's growth been?
It's been great. I mean, it goes in stages, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to look back and see. When we first launched, we had no funding outside. It was really just bootstrapping and taking sales and putting it back in inventory. Our first year in business, we probably spent 6 months out of stock of almost everything just because we kept selling out and then place an order with that money, sell it again. There were down times. Eventually, we joined the Desai Accelerator at University of Michigan. That was wonderful, both with financial investment and then also the mentorship that they provided as well. And then this past October, we aired on Shark Tank. And that was, again, we were there for a deal. We're really excited to walk away with one. But the exposure was also huge. And it's a way to introduce our brand to so many guys around the country.
Today's partner highlight is none other than New Foundry. New Foundry is an Ann Arbor-based innovation studio working with leaders and change makers from startups to multinational corporations, from health systems to automotive suppliers, from financial services to consumer products, and beyond. New Foundry designs and develops custom solutions for the digital world. Mobile and web apps that engage and delight, user interfaces that make driving and riding more fun, product configurators that sell more stuff. If it's digital, they do it. Contact New Foundry today to find out what their team of designers, software engineers, and product strategists can do for you. That's New Foundry, spelled N-E-W-F-O-U-N-D-R-Y at newfoundry.com. New Foundry, let's forge your big idea.
Yeah, so you mentioned a little bit of the Shark Tank process. So did that deal actually go through, or what happened with it?
Yeah, so for us and all the companies on there, I mean, it is a real pitch. That's one of the things that's been fun to learn and see. And people ask, like, oh, is it, how much of it staged, or what was it? What was practice? We had no idea what to expect going in. So we're super excited to get a deal with Mark. He has a whole team that is there to help the companies they're working with. I think what's cool about his team especially is that they work with so many different companies.
Yeah,
it's tough to find an organization that has worked with apparel brands and tech companies and services and B2B. So anything, any question we have, they are helpful. So very excited to be working with Mark's team. Shark Tank was definitely a big part of our story. But at this point, we're always looking forward. You know, what's the next product we can release? How can we get more and more customers? Our goal is that every shorter guy in America and eventually the world tries our clothes on. So we're excited to keep doing what we can to get there.
Yeah. So as an entrepreneur, how do you approach like product release? Like how much research goes into that, and like how much talking to your customers as to like, oh, should we release another pair of jeans or should we do something else? Right. Like not even like a shirt or a short sleeve shirt, like something like a blazer, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time on it, probably too much time, to be honest. I think, you know, it's always, growth is always the most important thing in startups. It's all about grow and try to be fast, and that's important to us too, but we know how valuable it is to get the best possible clothes, and no one's done this before. It's not as easy as just putting on a shirt and cutting off a little bit of the length. Everything about it is different. We started from scratch. Even our cuffs, I have it rolled up now, but your cuffs are, you know, half an inch shorter than your average shirt. Mm. Those are the little things. When you wear it, it finally feels like it's for you.
Right.
And if you're used to wearing clothes that you just chop off certain things and it doesn't fit right, you can really tell the difference. But yeah, we spend countless hours, I mean, hundreds of hours on doing fittings with shorter guys of all shapes and sizes. Sizes are from extra small to 2XL. We have slim fit, we have standard fit. So we really want to have options for every guy, no matter what your body type is, as long as you're in that shorter audience that's been missed by now.
Yeah. And so back again to just like the future of Ash and Erie. So like what, I don't want you to spoil anything, you know, so I definitely want to be careful here, but like what can a guy like me expect in the future? Because I assume that you guys want to just really own the shorter guy's closet, essentially, right? I mean, that's typically the goal of any startup, is just to, like, in any market like this, is just everything that your customer, like, uses, you want to own. So what can we sort of expect in terms of, like, product roadmap?
Yeah, from a business standpoint, I mean, every company wants to grow. We absolutely want to as well, right? Our goal is to be the first major brand for shorter guys. And so we need to continue doing two things that'll help us get there. And that'll help us best serve guys 5'8 and below. Number one is design the best possible clothes and eventually have an entire wardrobe. So anything where height is a factor in how it fits, which we found to be almost every apparel item out there, we want to design it and make sure it's the best possible. That will take time. We know right. It takes time. I mean, right. It's months of developing any new fit, and then there's the inventory side and the style side, and there's so much that goes into it. But we want to eventually have that entire wardrobe. And then get into things like accessories, so belts and wallets and watches and things, or anything that's, again, saying we have a shorter guy in mind. We're thinking about it from the start versus traditional brands that have a 6-foot model in mind, even for right. their extra small size, that kind of thing. And then number two is introduce us to every shorter guy in America and, like I said, the world as well. As a consumer brand, getting the word out will always be one of the biggest challenges, and it's tough. We don't have the million-dollar budgets that bigger apparel brands do, but we need to continue to find ways to reach out. And Shark Tank was wonderful, a huge opportunity for us, but it's not something you can go and do again, right? It was a one and done. So what are the ways that we can continue to find more and more guys, introduce them to the brand? And really, my goal is have every shorter guy try at least one item, right? If you're sick of jeans that are too long, if chop off 6 inches and it doesn't quite look right and the wash is down on your ankle, try out a pair of our jeans. If you're sick of hemming your sleeves and the placket button looks like it's the button on the cuff, try out our shirts. I mean, there's so many things that we want to design and get out there, and we're confident we'll have the best fit for at least the core items that a lot of guys are looking for.
Yeah, and I love that, because it's just annoying to have to take a shirt into the tailor and like pay extra, you know what I mean? Because it's just like a whole another step to the process that even a lot of times takes so much. Like, for example, when I moved from Warren to Ann Arbor, I like got an order of shirts that were on sale, right? And it was just like I was not expecting that price increase for the tailor, because my tailor back home was like a certain price and he was way cheaper than the tailor in Ann Arbor. And I'm just like, oh my gosh,
our customers in New York City have it even worse from what I hear. So
I can imagine, like, you almost have to get stuff pre-fitted, and that's just a whole nother process. Yeah.
And it's just not right. I mean, if you think, let's use a Detroit example. If you buy a car, you don't go and try to replace the seats in the back. You don't, you know, chop off the back quarter of the right. car and put on a new one on there. It just doesn't really work. Right. I mean, you could. It's expensive and it won't look quite right, but the car will still run. But it's not what anybody wants to do. And I think for us, it's saying you get quality clothes that fit well right off the rack. And that's the important part. You don't have to go through the hassle of going to the tailor. You don't have to have the expense and the inconvenience of getting custom clothes, which you can only do for a couple items anyways. It fits well off the rack. You buy it just like every other guy, put it on and go on with your day. And that's really the goal for us.
Yeah. And so, man, there was something in there that I was just like, oh, man.
Cut me off next time.
No, totally fine. So in terms of like, yeah, I just completely banked. I think it was something about Warren or something about Cousin O, I don't know. But anyway, so I'm going to come up with a question. But before I ask my last question, where can people find more info on Ash and Erie? Where can people find more info on Steven or learn more about anything? Do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, ashanderie.com, ashanderie.com. That's our website. Everything is online right now. We do have an office in Detroit. We're very excited to be in the city. No storefront at this point, but if people email us, we're always happy to meet with them, show them the office, get some clothes in that they can try on in person if you're local. We just launched some summer weight shirts and some short sleeve options. I'm wearing one now. I think we're really excited to continue having more and more products out there. I know for me, every time we get new shirts, and I'm excited to put them on and try them out. And, you know, it's fun to give customers the same experience. I think it's, you know, what you wear does affect how you feel and how you look and your confidence. And it is a hassle to not find things that fit. And it's annoying to realize that clothes aren't made for you. Literally everything out there isn't made for you if you're in that 5'8 and below range. So we're really excited about what we're doing. And if you're a shorter guy that's listening, we'd love to hope you give us a chance and have you check out our items.
Awesome. And so that actually did remind me of my question. So thank you.
Yes.
It was storefront. So I was thinking more of like retail. So, you know, obviously we see like, well, let's take the example of like a Warby Parker, right? Like they were purely online e-commerce, then they open up retail. So is that in the future, not necessarily in the future, but like how do you balance, like, if that's going to happen or when it's going to happen, or like, what are your opinions on retail for like a primarily e-commerce brand?
Yeah, there are a lot of brands out there that are followed a similar path. I think, you know, after in 2010, let's say, not too long ago, there were a lot of brands that went online, grew really fast, and then got to a certain point where now in the last 3 or 4 years, they've built a lot of stores and that's their focus. Warby Parker for glasses, Bonobos, they're made for taller guys, but their Detroit store just opened, for example. Untuckit's another brand that's doing well. And these are similar brands that we think about with shorter men's and casual clothes. Yeah, I think for us, online is our main focus now because we have customers all around the country and we're still a smaller company. And so that's where the efficiencies are. That's what makes the most sense to focus on. At a certain point, though, if you have the resources for it, guys still do love to touch and feel clothes. Now, Bonobos is innovative and unique in what they do, where that they don't carry any inventory in the store itself, so they can have a smaller footprint, but they're paying a premium to be in places that people are most, so in the heart of downtowns, that kind of thing. For them, that works well because their supply chain makes sense behind the scenes. Guys can still try things on, but you don't walk out with it. Mm. That's a little unusual. Some customers might like it. Some customers might not. I think it's also a generational gap as well.
Yeah.
Warby Parker, they were online, but they also had an amazing home try-on program. We'll send you 5 glasses. You put them on. You can see what it looks like and send them back. That was new and unique. And then they advanced to stores. So for us, we'll always think about different ways to do that. Maybe we could have a home try-on program of ourselves. Maybe we can have a storefront in a couple of key cities. But it all takes time, and it takes, and it's a constant question of what's the best use of our time, what's the best use of our limited resources and money. And for us, we think we have so much more room to grow online, find more customers that way. But at a certain point, when the team is there, when the resources are there, we'd love to have a place for people to touch and feel clothes on. When a shorter guy tries on our clothes, we know that's when it clicks, and it's like, wow, this is awesome. I need to wear this. And so it makes it even easier if you can walk into a store and do it. So one day is the short answer. But I think for any startup, it's just a constant question of what's the best use of time and resources? When is it going to happen?
Right. And with that, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me.
All right, everyone. That was Stephen Major of Ashinery. We hope you had a great time listening, and we'll see you next time on the Impact Michigan podcast.